But again, Assyria was the threatening force at that time, but Isaiah is saying, no, there's coming a time. There's going to come a time where Babylon is going to do this. And this is being prophesied about 100 years from the first siege, and then there's two more sieges on Jerusalem and Judah, which will be about 115 years total. But again, God is already telling them, prepare, that you are going to be taken over. And then, like I said, Hezekiah passes away, and his son Manasseh becomes a king. And Manasseh is a very evil, he's a very bad man. And he rules for 55 years. It's the longest rule that they had. But he does evil in the sight of the Lord. And in 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 12 through 16, this is just a summary. But just a summary of what was said. It says, therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I'm going to bring such disaster on Jerusalem and Judah that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle. I will stretch out over Jerusalem the measuring line that was used against Samaria and the plumb line used against the house of Ahab. I will wipe out Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and give them into the hands of their enemies. They will be looted and plundered by all their enemies. They have done evil in my eyes and have aroused my anger from the day of their ancestors came out of Egypt until this day. Moreover, Manasseh also shed so much innocent blood that it filled Jerusalem from end to end, besides the sins that he caused Judah to commit, so that they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So Manasseh, very evil man, and led Jerusalem, led Judah away from God, and yet they followed. They followed him. So then, a little later in history, we see that that Hosea becomes king. And now Hosea is 8 years old when he becomes king. And about 18 years into his reign, the high priest finds the book of the law of the Lord while they're cleaning out the temple. So he's about 26 years old. And Hosea goes and he gets the book, and he's cleaning the temple. He's cleaning the land. He's trying to purge it from all the pagan gods, all their Asherah poles. He's going through and he's cleaning up. And just want to read what it says about him in 2 Kings 23, verses 25 and 27. It says, neither before nor after Hosea was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his strength, in accordance with the law of Moses. Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn away from his heart from the fierce anger which burned against Judah because of all that Manasseh had done to arouse his anger. So the Lord said, I will remove Judah also from my presence as I removed Israel, and I will reject Jerusalem, the city I chose, in the temple about which I said my name shall be there. So again, Hosea passes away. He has two sons that are made king. One made king for 3 months. And then the other son is Jehoiakim. And in chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, it says, during Jehoiakim's reign, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded the land, and Jehoiakim became his vassal for 3 years. But then he turned against Nebuchadnezzar and rebelled. The Lord sent the Babylonian, Armenian, Moabite, and Amorite raiders against him to destroy Judah in accordance with what the Lord had proclaimed by his servants, the prophets. So that's where the fall and the decline of Judah and Jerusalem had come. That's how it kind of built up to that, where it was going to happen. And so Daniel and his friends are part of this first siege. They're taken captive, as thousands of people are. And like Clarence had said one time, we were here for a class, this wasn't just where you're taken over, and it's like, okay, well, we we got to learn Chaldean to speak to these individuals. It was very brutal. It was brutal. And but Daniel and his three friends, and there were others that were taken in, are going to have an opportunity to possibly sit on the king's court. And so if we go back to Daniel now, look at Daniel, and read verses 3 through 7. So then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief court of his officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Ishmael, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. So here we're starting to see that Daniel and his friends were chosen. They met some of the physical qualities that they were looking for. And there must have been some type of test. I'm thinking IQ test or something to see what their aptitude was, to see if they would be quick learners. And if it was also, I believe, if they saw something in them that they could see that, well, we can be impressionable on them. And we're seeing that by changing their name, you're kind of changing their identity. They had Hebrew names, but now we're giving them pagan names. They're going to change your whole identity. And Daniel, his name meant God is my judge. But the name Belshazzar that was given to him means Bel protect his life, which was a pagan god. And then Hananiah means the Lord show grace. His name was changed to Shadrach, which means the command of Aku. And Aku was a Sumerian moon god. And then Mishael, is who is what God is, was to Meshach, and it is who is what Aku is. And then Azariah, the Lord helps, and his name was changed to Abednego, and that means that he's a servant of Nebo. So we can see that the changes are there on your identity, who you're going to be. Then also we see that they had set aside certain foods for them to eat. They were going to eat off the king's table. So again, you're having this outward change on your identity, but now we're going to even change you on the inside, what you're eating and what you're going to do from there. And the whole process, I think, is to make them sound like Babylonians, to speak the language, to know the literature, to think like them. It's almost just training them in. I know with the military, a lot of times they like the young people. I think there is an age limit to join the military. And I think it's 25 unless you're prior service, then you can go into 30. But they like the young men because you can impress on them. They feel that they're invincible, and when you give them an order, they're just going to react. They don't think about it. Well, you told me to do something, now I'm let's weigh the consequences here. But you know, young men, they're trained, and they just react. You tell them what to do, and they do it. And so I think in their learning and stuff, they have, you know, these are quick learners. They're very bright. They're very smart. And so that's their whole process. So now we're going to look at, these young men are faithful to God. So we'll look at Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 16. It says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guards and the chief officials appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the other young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to test him, and he tested them for 10 days. At the end of those 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the other young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and their wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. And so here we see that Daniel and his friends understand, even at a young age, Daniel was a very young man. Don't know from what I've been reading and looking into, he could have been as young as 14, could have been as old as 20. There's a range of, but whatever the case, he's young. He's young, and he understands that he's under the Mosaic Law. And he understands that in Leviticus 11, God has instructed his people what is clean, what is not clean. And maybe some of that royal food that they were eating could have been unclean animals, may have been sacrificed to pagan gods. Whatever the case, Daniel knew, and his friends, they said, "We're not going to be a part of this." And again, God, working through Daniel, there's a great work that God is going to be doing into the Babylonian culture here as we get further into the story. But God now is just starting to work through Daniel just to show them. Now, I believe Daniel and his friends could have ate dirt, and God would have made them look better than everybody else. But they were doing their own thing. In a sense, Daniel was challenging the Babylonian custom. This is what we do, and this is why we do it. I'm sure that the official had reservations, obviously, because he was probably raised in Babylonian customs and really believed that, you know, this diet is what brings on geniuses in our society. This is these choice foods, everything that we have here, this is what's going to make you, nourish you and bring you on. And I think anybody else, they probably would have been killed. You're going against what the king said, and obviously what I said as an official, we'll just get rid of you. And but God works through the official, makes him have favor. He shows favor. And it relates back to Pharaoh. God hardened his heart so that God could show his people and also the Egyptians, this is who I am. Know this. And again, you know, he had hardened his heart, and he's showing compassion now. The official's showing compassion. And he's like, you know, I'll let you do it for 10 days. And again, they look healthier, and they're becoming more wiser than all the others that are there. So now we'll look at these young men. They're elevated to high positions as we look at Daniel chapter 1 and then verses 17 through 21. It says, "To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar, and the king talked with them. And he found that none were equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus." So what we see here, again, just as God had blessed Solomon with wisdom, God has been blessing these three young men. They've stayed true to God, and God has been blessing them with knowledge and wisdom. And then Daniel even has the gift of interpreting dreams, which is, again, very key later on in the story. And the key thing here, I think, in this whole chapter when I read this, is verse 8. In verse 8, he says that he proposed in his heart that he would obey God's law that was given to his people Israel, and that this would be his life. At whatever the cost, I'm going to obey God's law. I know what God has told us. I know who the one true living God is. And I have that purpose in my heart to uphold that. And as we'll see, even with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, it's amazing how I know their names as the pagan names. Don't know them as the other, as their Hebrew names. But even they are tested to that point. And if it's going to be death, then it's going to be death. We're not going to back down from this. And so God gives all of us that same opportunity. He gives us all that opportunity. He has done the work. And that work that has been prepared by Jesus Christ, his Son. And all we have to do is submit our lives to him. He has given us his Bible. And we have the plan of salvation in there. And again, he just wants us to submit our lives to what Jesus has done for us. And this is the plan that God has done. And this evening, if there is anyone here that has not submitted their life, or they're not a member of the New Testament church, or maybe you don't know how, what does it take? This is a church that we don't just join, but you are added. God adds you to that. Please let us know. We'd love to go through the plan of salvation with you and show you what the Bible says, what it is to be saved. And also, prayer requests that we might be able to help.